Beyond the Mic with Sean Dillon.
It's Cinco de Mayo. Agave spirits have finally overtaken vodka for number one selling liquor. How? Why did this happen? We're joined on the Starline by a man who knows his wine and spirits, spending more than 20 years selling, owning, and enjoying spirits. Founder of Sip Margs and Su Casa Mezcal, we welcome Joey Angelo.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Happy Cinco.
Joey, let's go beyond the mic. If you ask a person to name a vodka or tequila, they'll probably name you maybe a dozen brands off the top of their heads. But other than a celebrity mezcal, like maybe Dos Hombres or Terramana, people couldn't name it, let alone spell it. Why is name recognition lacking in the smoky-flavored beverage?
All right, so this is my personal take on it. So just take that with a grain of salt. But for the most part, a lot of them are difficult to pronounce. And, you know, I equate that to going to a fancy restaurant and try to impress somebody with a white burgundy, and you're kind of choking on your words and you want to just pointing, right? You know, you're embarrassed. So a lot of them just don't roll off the tongue that easy. And you see that. You see that in real time. You know, they just point or just say mezcal. So that's one. Two, it's a relatively new category. I mean, it's relatively new to the U.S. market. And then also, I think a lot of the packaging is kind of one size fits all. You know, we really went super unique. It's a custom mold. You'll never see it again. A lot of bottles are very stock. Kind of simple labels, nothing really pops out at it. So it doesn't really speak to you on the shelves at a store. It doesn't really speak to you off the back bar. I think for kind of all those reasons, there's not a lot of brand loyalty like the other brands have. And, you know, the vodkas and the gins and the rums and so on and so forth.
Sales for tequila have nearly doubled from the pandemic to today, nearly $3 billion in sales, while mezcal has increased from 24 million to 60 million. What caused the obsession with the margaritas and more since the pandemic?
You know, the pandemic, there's a lot of home consumption for sure. But I think the short answer is it's really with the agave spirits, tequila included, and certainly mezcal. I mean, you just get that sense of community and friendship, and even like, you know, hence the name Su Casa, Mi Casa, Su Casa, my house, your house. It's really, it's fun. It's a reason to get together. The Mexican culture, the food, you know, they're all small plates and shareables, and it's really made for an organic good time. Margaritas are fun. It's an excuse to get together and, you know, have that sense of community. And I think that's what it's all about. The world's a scary place these days. And I think people really are, you know, just kind of going back to basics and having fun with family and friends. And you know, we're very inclusive in the way we operate. It's about just everybody getting together in community and having fun.
Agave spirits are known for Mexican food. Now, you love to cook Italian food. So how do you work with agave spirits with non-traditional food combos?
You know, on cakes, on different cocktails, like if I'm cooking Italian, I'll go towards a mezcal Negroni, which, you know, is a very simple swap out. That's another thing I love so much about the category. Like, it's just, you could just replace any base spirit, like the Negroni. It's a classic gin cocktail. You swap it with mezcal, it's absolutely delicious. Even more so, I just find it more interesting. It's got a little smoke, it's got all these awesome elements, but yeah, I try to kind of pair the cocktail with whatever I'm cooking that particular evening.
Founder of Sip Margs and Su Casa Mezcal, Joey Angelo joins us beyond the mic for Cinco de Mayo and the Rocky Nate. All this is, Joey, is 8 random questions. Answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. There's no pressure.
Let's do it.
Best 90s hip-hop album of all time.
Oh, man. Easy. Nas.
And the album?
New York State of Mind.
Best and worst place you have to call on when you worked for Empire Merchants selling spirits.
Worst, Plaza Hotel. Best, Catch Hospitality Group.
Your product, Viva 32 Tequila, had a portion of its sales go to animal protection charities. I want to know why your black Havanese dog, Biggie, is so important to you.
Oh, God, he's my heart. He's just a special little man. He relaxes me. He's my best friend. He travels with me. I live on an airplane. He comes everywhere I go, and he's my road dog. He's my guy.
Which hurts more, breaking your brother's front two teeth on a water hose or getting stitches in the eyelid after having an inner tube air valve hit you in the eye?
The latter. It looked like Jaws. The entire pool was literally blood red.
Oh my!
The latter, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. I got to thank him for that one again. I totally forgot about that. I didn't forget about the scar though, because I look at it in the mirror every morning.
What's your first tattoo? Where is it?
First tattoo. Oh, I know. Oh man. Actually, going to visit my older brother at college, and we decided to do something stupid, but it's on like my hip, because I had it covered from my very Italian parents, so it's like right below my waistline, so they couldn't see it.
Well, what is it?
It was a sun.
Since you live up northeast, which is worse, I-95 or Route 1?
95. Brutal. Brutal. You just give me anxiety.
This is going to be a loaded question. Who makes better pizzas, you or your brother, and what's your best creation?
Mine are definitely better. If he says anything else, he's lying. I go straight margarita. I'm a purist.
What's the best WWE match you've ever seen live? And if you were a wrestler, what would your stage name been?
Ooh, I would say Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Randy Macho Man Savage. I forgot what year. My stage name would be, Jersey Joe.
Very nice. It is Joey Angelo. He is the founder of Sip Margs and Su Casa Mezcal Beyond the Mic. Joey, how has your views of spirits changed from when you first started to today?
Oh man. Oh God. You know, great, great question. You know, so for the first, part of my career, I was selling products that were already established, and, I didn't create them. I didn't design them. I had no idea, with the formulation. I was just selling kind of somebody else's dream. And then on the flip, there's just so much more that goes into it. There's just so much care. I mean, they're truly your children. And like, you just look at it so much differently and where you place them. And, when you're selling a product for somebody else, like, you're just selling to sell. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I had a ton of passion for it, and I loved what I did for so long, but you're a little more careful when it's yours, right? You want to make sure it's placed at the right places. You want to make sure it's on the menu, and you're really like, all the eyeballs are on. You really care about the brand equity, instead of just selling it to sell it.
Because you lost your mom at a young age, being present for your daughter was important for you. As a girl dad, why is your little bug Ava so important? And as a fitness trainer, what's the one key lesson she's taught you?
Oh, great question. Well, so she's my heart. She's my little bug, and she's a tough one. She's certainly not easy, but me and her are just, that's my little bug. We've had this special little unique bond that I've never had with anybody in my life. And it's just like kind of her and I against the world. We've had this own very unique relationship. And she's so smart and thoughtful, but I think like, hard work and dedication. This little girl is so dialed in on what she does. She competed in her first bodybuilding competition, and for a year, like zero alcohol, which actually happened to be her senior year of college. The strictest diet program. I'm talking like, if they say 7 grains of rice on a scale, she's putting 7 grains of rice on a scale, not 8, not 6. Like, she's just so dialed in, laser focused. It's just incredible to watch from the outside. And I think that's what she taught me, that's focus.
You were known as a serial entrepreneur, creating, launching, expanding, selling, starting over.
Could be worse. I could be serial something else, right?
Do you feel like you have to continually have this cycle in just to challenge you?
Yes.
Why?
I get bored really easy. I'm always looking to improve. Not in the polished, phony answer. Like, when I say that, I mean kind of looking for the next big thing, meaning where are the holes? Where are the gaps? What do we really need? Like, I would never do a product that there's so many of and just do my interpretation of it or a twist. Like, I truly, look for, like right now, like real talk, I'm I'm looking to do like a, something like a, like what Saint Germain did, you know, back in the day, like an elderflower liqueur, not elderflower necessarily, but that kind of came out of nowhere and magically made every cocktail on earth delicious. I mean, people are using it like ketchup or salt. I mean, it was just, you know, so like, what is that magic ingredient? You know, obviously Cointreau, what that does to a margarita, gives that little orange flavor. Like, that's amazing. And they carved out such a unique piece. But, you know, what's a great modifier that just makes so many different cocktails better? So something like that, something truly unique and that hasn't been done before, but it's necessary. Not hasn't been done before just because it hasn't been done before, but there's a reason and a purpose. So I always look for a reason and a purpose and a whole.
Joey, tell me about your biggest failure and how you overcame that adversity.
When I graduated college, I went straight into corporate America just because I kind of thought I had to. An older fraternity brother set me up at a very corporate, kind of very ultra corporate sales shop. It wasn't really sales. It was more like, you know, kind of back office stuff. And I just did it because I thought I had to. I thought I had to have that 9-to-5 when I graduated college. That's what you do. And it certainly wasn't something I was passionate about. It was very back office, very finance-y, certainly not my strong point. And I just did it because I thought I had to do it. And I was miserable every day. Like, I'd wake up and just, like, you know, that feeling. Like, I'll never have that feeling again. I just know that. Like, that was the biggest lesson I probably ever learned. I just never want to feel like how I felt for those first, like, 3 years.
How have your dreams changed from when you were younger to today?
Oh, that's a great question. I think now, you know, I just turned 46. Like, I want to make an impact. Like, you know, obviously money's important and finances and all that kind of stuff. And everybody thinks about that. But like, I want to make a difference. I want to be known for something. I want to have like a legacy. I want to, you know, whether it's a product I come out with, like something has like a real big impact. And that could be the wine and spirits business or something else I do down the line, but like something I maybe hasn't done before that I'll be remembered by more so than just like doing something just to do it.
Speaking of dreams, what's your best time in the New York City half marathon?
So I decided to do a New York City half marathon. And I'm not a runner by any stretch of the imagination at all. I actually don't enjoy it. It's one of those things, kind of like how my daughter does. I wanted to see if I could do it. So I did it, but it was actually a lot more difficult. You can't just sign up. I didn't know how it worked or anything. You have to either qualify, so you have to have a few races under your belt, which I certainly did not, or you could donate your way in, which I was very much interested in because it all goes to charity, but all the donations were closed. They had all their sponsorship dollars, so there's really no way in. So I actually called a buddy of mine that worked for the New York City Roadrunner Association as a volunteer and asked him, like, you know, if there's anything he could do. And he's like, yeah, no problem, man. It's like, I got you. I can set you up. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, don't even worry about it. Sure enough, I got an email. You go to the Javits Center. You pick up your credentials and, you know, the bib and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, mind you, I'm like 5'9 and kind of like a muscle-bound kind of guy. Like, definitely not a runner's body. Woke up super early. I took the train in from my house in Westchester. It was like 5 a.m. and go to Central Park. And I think my bib number is like 7 or whatever, something like that. I get on the train and, like, you know, I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt. And like, everybody's just staring at me. I'm getting looking at me weird. I mean, it's the oddest thing. I get off the train. Same thing. People looking me up and down. I get to Central Park. Same exact, I mean, it's like, what is going on? Did I not put on deodorant this morning? I don't know what is going on. All of a sudden, they're like ushering me to the front. I mean, there's thousands of people in this race. They usher me like right to the front. That number 7 bib I had was like number 7, like in the world.
As far as, oh my.
Like a real number. So like, I'm up there with guys that, like, I mean, when that gun hit, I mean, I went from 7 to, 9,007 in about 2 seconds. These are like professional marathon runners, and I'm right up there with them. And it's no reason I was getting stared at being 5'9 and looking like John Cena's a little brother.
Wow.
But yeah, it was like number seven, like as in out of a couple thousand. That didn't last too long.
Family is important to you. How have they helped you and supported you in your darkest days and your greatest victories?
We lost our mother very, very young, so that was super duper hard, but real strong family for, you know, for my older brother. My father is like just one of the greatest humans on the planet. We always joke around. We say like there's like Jesus, my father, like in that order. Like he's just, you know, he plays a million instruments, different languages. He's a chef. He's an art history professor for 30 years. Like I've never heard this man curse. Okay. And trust me, I tried to get it out of him. He's just a very unique person. I mean, he's absolutely like flawless, this guy, and super supportive of my brother and I. And yeah, that's always been, we really kind of lucked out on the family tree. Our family's always been super supportive. And even though we lost our mom super early, you know, everybody kind of jumped in to make up for it.
Your founding partner in Rumble Boxing, Joey, how has it helped you stay in shape? And what do you see in its future?
Oh, man, great question. Honestly, best shape I've ever been in my life when I'm dedicated to Rumble Boxing. It was a difference for me. I love the weight room. I was never a great like athlete or anything, but I love weight training. And I always did it. That was kind of like my outlet and still is. But when I incorporate the boxing, it changed my physique like overnight. You're doing moves that you just typically, you would never do in a weight room, non-traditional, you know, bench presses and all that kind of stuff. And your body moves in just a way that it, you know, you just get ripped up so quick. And it's so fun because they play 90s hip hop and it's like nightclub lights and sound, and like an hour goes by and it feels like 5 minutes, and you're just, I mean, you're soaking wet when you get out of there. And if you can do, you know, I wouldn't do just that. I think you do need some kind of, you know, formal weight training, but if you could combine the two, even if it's just like 2-3 days a week, oh man, I mean, you'll see results in a month.
It's time for one big question with the founder of Sip Margs and Sue Casa Mezcal, Joey Angelo, beyond the mic. Joey, how can people change the way they use and see tequila and mezcal in the future?
Well, you know, in terms of mezcal, I always ride on the coattails of tequila. You know, everybody knows it. It's accessible everywhere, no matter whether you're traveling or, you know, internationally. With mezcal, I always, you know, in terms of cocktails and stuff, I really go for those classics. I love a traditional margarita, but I just do it with mezcal. I love Palomas, but I just do it with mezcal. And that's another reason, like on the sales end of it, it's very easy. My philosophy in terms of sales and in this kind of business, if you're, and it's just my personal philosophy, that if you have to be the teacher, I think you're dead meat. Education's really hard. Education is very important, and you always want to build on that. And we do that every day. And I think we do education better than anybody. But you don't want to have to teach people a category. You know, I'm here to educate you about mezcal, not explain what it is or what you do with it. Like you have to already know and kind of be into it, and then we'll take it over the top. You know, that's why like certain spirits, you know, although I enjoy them, like I would never do like a Kasasha. I would never do a Sotol. Like, even though I enjoy them, I mean, I think it would take 20 lifetimes to teach the consumer what it is, let alone what makes yours so special, like just the category alone. So I kind of stay away from things like that.
So what's your next dream?
On the short term, we are doing another expression of Sukasa. It's a reposado. We're actually aging it right now in Oaxaca, and it's almost ready, and the bottle came out beautiful. It's the same exact juices we have now, but just aged, and it's picking up these like awesome like caramel notes from the wood and a little cacao. I've been working on it for like a year, and it's like just about ready. So it's my new baby. That's my like immediate dream. In the long term, I kind of want to help other people's dreams.
Very cool.
I'd like to create and kind of design and do all the work that I do now, but for others, and kind of get them on first base, and, you know, from basically from the dugout, get them the uniform, do all the work with their vision, but I create it and then set them off until they can fly on their own. that's what I would really love to do, like, in the long term.
Where can people find you online, Joey?
So my personal Instagram is at It's Joey Angelo. It's Joey Angelo. Tsukasa Instagram is at Tsukasa Mezcal. Sip Marg Instagram is at Sip Marg. Easy one. If you'd like to purchase any of those products online, Sip Marg is simply sipmarg.com. Tsukasa Mezcal is tsukasamezcal.com. And we're available in pretty much every state.
He's living with a New York state of mind, dreads I-95, and wants you to enjoy tequila and mezcal. Happy Cinco de Mayo, the founder of Sip Margs and Tsukasa Mezcal, Joey Angelo. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
You're the best. Happy Cinco.
And that, my friends, is
Cheers.
Beyond the Mic. If you're enjoying these conversations, please check out another Beyond the Mic episode to find more actors, artists, and people you need to know. We'd also appreciate a like and subscribe on the Good Pods app.